This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code POD to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code POD at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code POD.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Of the Night Report podcast. I'm your host, Mike Broadbent. Joining me once again is my co-host, Richie O'Leary. Coming in live, Mexico Mike down in sunny Cancun, Mexico. Again, didn't expect to be recording at all on this trip, let alone within hours of landing here. But here we are because Ethan Calliope-Manis was named the starter per Pete Thamel. And subsequently, Gavin Griffiths entered the portal on the last day of the portal being open. So we are here to kind of talk it all out, kind of give a little more insight as to how these things came together. But first, as always, we are presented by Night and Day Apparel. Calling all Rutgers students, fans, and alumni. Are you looking for new and unique Rutgers merchandise? Night and Day Apparel has you covered. From t-shirts and hoodies to drinkware and pet accessories, Night and Day focuses on bringing the Rutgers community exclusive, one-of-a-kind tailgating products. Be sure to check out the links in today's podcast description, their website and social media, so you can stay on top of everything Night and Day, including new merch drops and promotional announcements. Shop now and keep chopping. So I don't think it's any surprise the eventual conclusion this coaching staff came to, naming Ethan Calliope-Manis as starter. The writing was kind of on the wall. You don't really bring in the starter from your last stop into your new stop unless you really like the guy, unless you really vibed with him. And I would say in the spring game, things didn't necessarily look like Ethan was the sure thing starter, but from everything I had heard over the course of the spring, Ethan really had kind of pulled away. And it's a little surprising with the timing. Are you also surprised by the timing of this, or do you think Greg was doing a solid to Gavin letting him enter the portal?
I mean, I've talked to people all morning about this within the program, close to the program, and everyone keeps saying the same thing. Greg did the right thing. He told Gavin basically like, hey, I'm going to name Ethan the starter. I'm going to give you a heads up so you could still enter the portal if you want. He didn't have to do that. Personally, as a football coach, I'm not doing that. It's all about culture. Like Greg always preaches culture, culture, family, trust, chop, FTC. The previous one was family, F-A-M-I-L-Y. Forget about me.
I love you. Blah,
yeah, he still does that a little bit still. It's more FTC now, but, I get it. It's a culture thing. You did the right thing by your guys. And then, I mean, you did the right thing by the players at the end of the day. Kids see that. Like, coaches see that. Maybe one day a coach is going to be like, you know, I've heard good things about Greg. I'm going to go coach for him. I'm going to be his next OC or something, or DC, because who knows how long Harrison Miak's going to be around. But, Yeah, that stuff plays a big factor. And it's huge, and it makes sense from that perspective. But from a strategical advantage perspective, I don't like it because I'd rather have two guys that have veteran leadership, game experience.
Sure.
The other two don't have any experience. I mean, Johnny has that one game last year, which was like, I don't even know who it was.
Some FCS threw like opponent. Four passes against Howard or Wagner. Sorry.
Wagner. Yes, that's what it was. So, yeah, I mean, I get it. I think Ethan is the man for a job. I think he's better than Gavin. And I think we've kind of preached that over and over and over again.
Yeah, we've said it subtly and not so subtly. Gavin was, he was beat out. Plain and simple. They weren't going to just give Ethan the job because he had been with Kirk previously. You had to earn it. And I think everybody in the entire program understands you have to earn your job year after year. And you'd be doing the whole team a disservice if you handed a job to somebody just due to seniority, which Shiano has never really done. Let's be honest, through a fault almost, like where Shiano has almost given guys the job because they've kind of been better lately. Mm-hmm. Like you've seen a lot of QB flip-flopping with him in the 1.0 era.
Oh yeah,
and he's really resisted that. He gave Gavin the longest leash of any quarterback he's ever had, ever as a head coach.
Yep.
And Gavin was not ever able to seize that opportunity. And I think no throw illustrates that more clearly than that Gabe Winovich, swing pass that he just totally airballed in the spring game. The second throw of the game, it's the same pass he's been missing for 4 years since he's been at Rutgers. And at some point, like, maybe Gavin just needs a new voice in the room. He needs a new environment to really unlock him because it just wasn't going to happen here. And maybe he makes improvements on the margins. Maybe he becomes a 50% passer. But still, that's not even like baseline acceptable for a Division One, not only Division One, but a Power Four now program. Like nobody wants Gavin to fail. Nobody wanted Gavin to transfer, really. I mean, some people maybe just disliked him for whatever reason. But everybody wants Rutgers to succeed. And I think that's where a lot of the strife came from between the Gavin versus Ethan versus everybody else kind of narrative. But Ethan won the job in the spring and Gavin's going to transfer. That's just how things work in college football in 2024. I kind of want to talk about like the appreciation for Gavin, because when he decided to come here, Rutgers didn't have a whole lot to sell. It had a program that was, mired by scandal. It had a program that hadn't been to a bowl game in 6 years at the time. He came on and, Sean Gleason hadn't coached above the, the FCS level for more than a year coming over from Oklahoma State. Previously, he was at Princeton. He took a chance on Rutgers. Rutgers took a chance on him. And I feel like the relationship, I wouldn't say it ever soured. It just didn't work out. Sometimes it doesn't have to have a catastrophic failure in order for things to break apart. Mm-hmm. It just didn't work. I hope Gavin goes somewhere and kills it. I hope Ethan comes in and kills it. Like I wanted Gavin to blow things up last year in a good way. It just never happened. There was a lot of money left on the poker table last year for Rutgers. And I think Greg and everybody in the program knew that we couldn't have another year like last year with the momentum the program had, with all the guys they had convinced to come back, with all the momentum moving forward. They couldn't afford to have those moments again. And that's why they brought in a guy like Ethan. And that's why a guy like Ethan won the job, if we're being honest.
Yeah. I mean, they went back and forth. There's a bunch of conspiracy theorists on our boards out everywhere else. say that again. But they're just sitting there like, hey, like, they brought him in and he knew he was going to get the job right away. And it's like, no, we watched practice. Like it was legit. Like one day is Gavin's turn. One day is Ethan's turn. One day is Ethan's turn. One day is Gavin's turn. And it was with the ones every time. They would just rotate every single day. And it was just they did what they did. And it was a legitimate competition. People were like, well, that's not a competition. It's only spring. I'm like, that's the whole point of it. Like it was 15 practices to figure out who's the guy. He could have drug it out into summer. And Gavin would have been stuck at Rutgers for another year. Yep. And then there goes a whole year of eligibility because he already redshirted it. So, I mean, but going back to what you said, Gavin did lead them to a bowl game. Their first bowl win in what, 8 years, 7 years, something like that?
First bowl win since the was it the Continental Tire Bowl in Detroit in 2014 over UNC?
Is that what it was?
I know that's the last win. I'm trying to think if that's the name of the bowl or not. Regardless, it was a Detroit bowl game in December. The the second year, I think Rutgers was either the first or the second year the Rutgers was in the Big Ten. I think it might have been the first, actually. It was the first because that was 2015. Yeah.
That, what, was it Quick Lane at the time? Or
Quick Lane Bowl, yes.
Quick Lane. Yeah, it was Quick Lane. Okay. But regardless, I mean, he had a decent year. There's some dog in the hallway barking. You probably hear it. But yeah, no, I mean, it's not like he had an awful year. He had an awful year passing the ball, but the running aspect always made up for some things. I mean, what was it, 11 touchdowns, 500 rushing yards? You haven't seen that from Rutgers quarterback in God knows how long. Ever?
Yeah, maybe forever. Yeah.
But Ethan's got wheels himself.
Let's touch on that running stat, though, because what percentage of those runs were designed QB runs last year? 95%?
Yeah, all of them. Also, 11 touchdowns when 7 of them were at the 1 yard line. I mean,
yeah. And you have the Big Ten's leading rusher that, you know, you're deciding not to give the ball. Whatever the reasoning is, we scored touchdowns in those situations. Yeah. But we had a quarterback who basically was just designed run power. That's not like those runs aren't as valuable as scrambles. Like, if you look at success rate, and we talked about this, ad nauseum, but if you look at what like Jaden Daniels did in the run game last year, I would say 60 to 70% of his runs were not designed QB runs. They were off scrambles because teams were playing man and nobody was spying Jaden and he just took off for 15 yards. Those are the kind of runs that force defensive coordinators to have to kind of reconfigure how they're going to play a guy. Yeah. It's not the kind of runs where, you know, you line 8 in a box and you just run, you know, QB straight off tackle to the right or, you know, QB power to the middle. It's those aren't necessarily like high impact, high efficiency runs the same way that like a scramble with a QB who understands like, oh, this is an advantageous situation, I should take off here. Or like, you know, all my guys are covered, I'm just going to take the 3 yards to the sideline. That's like, that's not ever what Gavin did.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of the frustration I had, is he got this reputation for a mobile quarterback. And certainly he has the athletic traits to be a huge rushing upside type guy, but he never really understood when it was the right time to run, when it wasn't. You know, he would never really read the defensive ends correctly on RPOs. So we were constantly handing the ball off into packed boxes when he clearly could just take the ball for, you know, short to huge gains. Like the few times he did take those keepers, you know, you saw it against Indiana, he took it 75 yards to the house. Like, he had that ability, but he just never really did it. For lack of
I don't think
term,
he had that,
which is
that twitch either. Like, that twitch is something you can't really learn. It's just something you have or you don't. Like, he saw a defender in open field, he's done, he's down. Whereas like a Jaden Daniels, like, I mean, I'll even go back to like a Johnny Manziel type, they just open field, they're juking guys, they're getting away from guys, they're avoiding pressures, like everything. Like, it's just a different type of mobility.
Yeah, that's so true. And, you know, I do think that Gavin Ethan has a mobility upside that isn't really fully understood, because he kind of just looks like I've compared him to Moe's from The Office, Dwight's cousin, but he's just kind of like he's an underrated athlete. I think you were telling me about how he like tested in the 4.6s in the combine, the Rivals combine circuit in high school. His run style is much more like, okay, everybody's covered and, you know, I can beat the defensive end. I'm going to run it and take it right outside, get 4 yards and we're good. So that's the kind of rushing upside that you really want to see. And it's basically just a headsy play where a guy, you know, sees an opportunity and gets the 3 yards that the defense is giving him.
Well, his senior year of high school, actually, it was cut short due to COVID. So they only played 6 games in the spring. And I'm looking now, he threw for 1,100 yards, 15 touchdowns. He also ran 40 carries for 250 and 4 touchdowns. Like, the guy's got mobility. It's not like he doesn't. Yep. He his sophomore year, when they actually played his junior year got hurt. His sophomore year, when he played a full season as a starter, 600 rushing yards, 11 rushing touchdowns. That's he's mobile. Like, he's more mobile than people give him credit for.
Yep. So we talked about the one half of, you know, Gavin transferring. Let's talk about the other half of Ethan winning this job. What do you think ultimately it came down to, why Ethan Calliope-Manis won the job over Gavin Wimsatt this spring?
Just accuracy, honestly. I think when it comes down to it, they're going to still run the ball a ton. They're still going to be a run-heavy team. They joked about Shiraka in the pregame. Shiano did, specifically saying, oh, air Shiraka today. Like, and it's like, because they don't fucking throw the ball. But when they do throw the ball, they need an accurate quarterback. And I'm not asking someone to – to go chuck it down 50 yards down the field and hit that guy wide open. I just need someone that can hit a 10-yard out route, basically, or 10-yard a slant route even. Like, I just need something that can hit those guys accurately. And it goes back to what you said before. Gabe Winovich was wide open on the second play of the game. And I think he actually threw behind him, like way behind
him. It was behind him. It was way behind him. I think three throws perfectly illustrate why Ethan won this job from the spring game, if you remember it. The first is his first deep ball to Nassim Brantley. So this is coming off a series where Gavin had missed a deep shot. Ethan's first deep shot, just a perfectly thrown ball over Nassim Brantley's shoulder for a touchdown pass. Or not a touchdown, I'm sorry, for a long gain. It was probably a 30-yard gain. The second was down in the red zone. I think it was the first touchdown they scored, the white squad, where it was just, you know, that glance route, that in-breaking slant to Dino Calliakmanis. Just a perfectly thrown ball. It's kind of just like, you know, a pass that's really hard to defend when it's thrown well. And the third being that that pass to Kenny Fletcher in the second quarter, I believe, where, you know, I think it was an eight route where he's kind of going – up and out towards the sideline, thrown, you know, with anticipation as he breaks away from his defender. He actually has room to break away and continue the yak ability. And I think he got like 30 yards. And if that ball is poorly thrown, it's, you know, it's lucky to get caught, period. But if it's just caught where he is, it's a 10-yard gain. But Kenny Fletcher was able to turn it into like a 30-yard gain because it was thrown on time and on target with the ability to get those yards after catch.
I mean, here's the Brantley. Here's the Brantley one. A little Chase Todd-esque with a pump fake. And I mean, yeah, it's like, just right out of the defender's reach and right in his hands. Like, I don't know which one this one is, but it's all his throws. He did make a couple mistakes too. Like, that's not saying he's like the greatest quarterback of all time. Like,
the second attempt of the game he had should have been a pick six going the opposite way. And I think we kind of hit on like the things that he's going to do that's going to frustrate people is he's going to have a couple throws a game where it's just putting the ball in harm's way. Like that is a fine completion there because it's a safe incompletion. The stuff he can't do is what he did the second throw of the game to Isaiah, basically handing the ball to Isaiah Crumpler. But this is that Dino pass where it's just, you know, boom, right on the money, coming off the play action.
This one's a little
hard. Can't really throw it much better than that.
But I mean, like, he's a solid quarterback. I'm not saying he's going to, like I said in the last pod, he's not going to be light years better than any, than Wimsatt, but he's going to be better. And end of the day, that's all you can really ask for because you're still going to run the ball probably 40 times a game. So
I think, that's the Kenny Fletcher pass. So if you, clearly Kenny Fletcher's an athlete, we haven't seen it, the tight end in a while, but like if that pass is poorly thrown, he's basically getting tackled as he catches it. But because it's thrown on target in front of him, that should have been a sack right there. And this is not a great throw, but it's out of harm's way. But because he throws it in a place where Kenny Fletcher can catch it and run, you know, it creates an additional 12 to 15 yards of offense that otherwise would not be there.
I mean, it's
and we've talked about that so much about what Gavin does. Even the completions he had sometimes were just like, okay, he hit an open receiver, but the guy had to basically dive to the ground to catch it. So all that yak ability – all those yards that were there hypothetically to gain are gone now because he's down. He's, you know, he's on the turf trying to catch the ball rather than catching the ball in an area that allows him to turn upfield.
I'm really intrigued to see how he uses Dremel because like we've seen Dremel have so many opportunities where he could have more yardage and he would make a diving catch like wide open, like 6 yards off the line of scrimmage. Like, an extra couple yards first down and you don't have to worry about anything. So I think that's all you really need from him. Just very basic stuff. It's nothing crazy, but I think it's going to be it should be a really good year, to be honest.
It will be. And these are the kind of like, I said it before, but it's like, it wasn't on the pod, but it's like, you know, big boy decisions have to be made when you're playing big boy football. And like when you're bad, you don't really have to make those tough decisions, but when you start to get good, you know, you have to make decisions that are uncomfortable. And this is a very uncomfortable decision, I'm sure, for Greg, because everything we've heard is Gavin is a great kid. Like, everybody loves him. Like, nobody wanted him to fail. But, you know, circumstances dictated that you just had to find somebody else.
Yeah.
And they did, and here we are. But I feel really good about Ethan coming in and being a competent quarterback, like basically able to do what Kirk wants in his scheme. Like Kirk recruited him out of high school, had him in his first year there. He had some flashes. If you look at that, you know, Minnesota game, Minnesota-Wisconsin game at the end of his first season, you look at the bowl game, like he really made some huge strides over the last month of the season. And then Kirk leaves and they have a first-time OC who doesn't really know what he's doing and things kind of fall apart. But I do think that having another system and seeing what did work, what didn't work, I'm sure there's going to be things that Ethan can say like, hey, you know, I love what you did here, but like this is what like really worked for me in my second year at Minnesota that we didn't do. So like seeing another way of doing things can help in a lot of ways for seeing, okay, this is definitely not going to work. And this actually, Kirk, you know, we never did this, but I really like this concept or whatever, or this kind of route combination. I think the best thing about Ethan winning the job is that we all know the running game is going to be the first and second and third option in this offense. But when it comes to, you know, nut crunching time when we're third and five and we need a completion to extend a drive, I feel a lot more confident with a guy like Ethan, who, given I've had limited experience rooting for the guy outside of the spring game, but I've watched every throw he's made in his college career. I feel a lot more confident that he's going to be able to make that completion in that money down type situation than Gavin will be, which is ultimately like if Gavin was able to make those completions, he'd probably still be here. But he's time and time again, five out of our six losses last year, we were within one score in the fourth quarter.
You're going to say Ohio State.
We threw three pick sixes last year.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, and sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/westwood1, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/westwood1 now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/westwood1.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
All three of them were losses. So, like, we had a really good team last year, and we had so much more we could have had, but it just didn't work out, which is fine. I mean, we had a game like Michigan State, we had no business winning, too. So, you kind of got to take the good with the bad. But at the same time, that margin of error for us was so narrow last year that we can't really afford to have that again this year. So, I think that's the primary reason, if I had to point to one, being why we decided to change things up. And the timing, I kind of want to talk about. Do you think that, like, what is the primary reason, do you think, that Greg made this decision now versus in the summer?
I really think he's just genuinely a nice dude and cares about the culture of his team. I think they just knew Ethan was the guy, and it was just like, hey, I'm going to give Gavin a chance to leave. Like I said before, you're screwed. If you want to play this out the summer, you can, but you're kind of screwing Gavin a little bit. And end of the day, they did what's right for Gavin and they made the right decision, I think. And, well, debatable, but, I still think he should have went in the summer and said, fuck it. Like, sorry, bud, this is college football. Yeah. Welcome to the show. But now Gavin's going to get a shot to probably go. I'd say he's going to drop a level 100%. I don't know where exactly. People say Western
Kentucky.
Like group
of five, you think?
Yeah, I'd probably say a group of five would take a chance on him. People keep saying Kentucky, and I'm just – or Western Kentucky, and I'm like, probably not. They throw the ball like a fuck.
Yeah, I was going to say they're like kind of an air raid type system, right?
Yeah, but that's like full-blown air raid. It's like – yeah. I'm looking at the kid now, 62% completion, 3,300 yards, 31 touchdowns. Yeah, I don't see that happening. It makes sense geographically, but not from that perspective. I don't know. I really don't know where he goes. Hey, hear me out. Service academies make a lot of sense right now. Just
triple option would be perfect for Gavin. It really would.
Now, obviously, that comes with a you have to do a duty afterwards. So, or term or why can't I think of the word?
I think we all had to do a duty after watching play quarterback last year.
It's fair.
Hey, Mexico Mike, let's go.
Guys got one beer in him, doesn't know what to do.
Yeah, I think one other thing that's important too to talk about is that this kind of stops the quarterback conversation narrative in the media too. Like it would have filled so much content for us and we would have loved talking about it, but it just kind of like, this is our guy. And Greg did this last year too with Gavin. At the beginning of the summer, he basically said like, this is the winner. And let's be honest, like he didn't really have as much as they want to talk about, they had an open competition last year. They didn't. This was, they wanted Gavin to succeed and they were giving him every opportunity to do it. So when I say he had the longest leash, Gavin didn't necessarily look the best out of all the quarterback group. And I know we've had people speculate on this, but let's be honest. Gavin was not the best looking quarterback most of the time last year. He did have great days. He did have bad days. And other quarterbacks who were no longer here had good days and had bad days. But there was no – like, I think it's more definitive this year that Ethan looked better than Gavin looked better than any of the quarterbacks last year. Would you agree?
Yeah, I'd say Temple's QB1 was pretty decent at times last year. I don't even know if he's QB1, to be honest.
I don't think he is. I think he's QB2 at best.
Oof. I would have liked to see what he could do. But
this drives things full steam ahead with the media narrative and the locker room narrative, because there's, I'm sure, plenty of guys who are really close to Gavin and plenty of guys who are, you know, they've brought in maybe at the same time as Ethan. Like, I'm not going to even name names. I'm not even saying that people have these – you know, divisions, but I'm just saying that like having that defined, like you're going to be the starter, just kind of sets the course. Like the captain of the ship has said in Greg Schiano, this is the direction we're going.
Yep.
This is how it's going to be. And that's just how things are going to be. And you kind of got to be a good, you know, member of the ship or you don't, that's kind of how things are. And I do think it makes sense. It's always easier to say things make sense in hindsight being a couple hours here, but I understand why he did it when he did it, personally.
Yeah, I get it. I keep looking at options. Jacksonville State, Rich Rod, new to mobile quarterbacks. It's an interesting one. Middle Tennessee State, local kind of-ish. I don't know. Regardless, sounds like a Johnny's backup quarterback for now. I think AJ is going to push him a lot. I think AJ, despite having a bad spring game, had his moments this spring. I think he's will be a damn good quarterback when it's all said and done. But I don't expect them to really go after a backup in the portal. Number one, because you know how hard it is to get a portal quarterback to begin with. Number two, you want to convince this guy to be a backup? Like, hey man, I know you like were pretty decent. You started like 7 games at your G5 school, but you want to be a backup for the year in your final season of college football?
It's a tough sell. And I think there's a reason why you rarely see any college programs with more than 3 scholarship quarterbacks anymore, because that fourth guy is almost always going to try and go play, and it makes sense. And if you're not the backup by the time you're a sophomore, you're probably leaving too. It's just the reality of how things are.
Yeah, so we'll wait and see what happens there, but I don't think they're going to get one. I think Johnny is probably going to be QB2, and he looked good. He looked decent in spring, so I mean – spring game specifically, I think he had the best percentage, I think, right?
Yeah, Johnny, he looked really good in the spring game. I mean, he had that deep pass that I thought was one of the best throws of the day that was dropped by DeAndre Johnson for a surefire touchdown. I mean, he just kind of – I think they were talking about on you know, the Scarlet Faithful podcast, where he just kind of has a great feel for the pocket. Whereas it just felt like, it felt like Gavin was like the ideal kind of athlete for the quarterback position in terms of arm strength, in terms of mobility. He even had like pretty good mechanics. Like he, you know, he's got the frame, but it just seemed like that kind of like understanding, like the innate understanding just was never there. Whereas a guy like a Johnny kind of has that, doesn't have the same physical tools as Gavin. And I don't think even AJ does, but you know, you have to have this general sense for playing the position that I don't think Gavin ever really had, or never really trusted himself enough to kind of fully just take those instincts and run with them.
Yep. So it is what it is, but we don't have to worry about this all summer now. So it's nice. And, got your QB one. So we'll see what they can do or he can do.
Yep. I'm excited for it. It's going to be interesting to kind of see how things take shape now that, you know, the most pressing topic of the offseason has been decided. I don't know what that was, so
that
apologies.
Was a wild bird.
those birds behind me, whatever they are.
Yeah.
Another kind of big news item today that dropped was the men's basketball Big Ten schedule dropped.
Yes.
If we want to pull that up, I think Aaron Brightman has
I have the Rutgers men's thing pulled up, the Instagram account.
Oh yeah, I was just looking at Aaron's tweet.
I was on Twitter right now. Pull that up. Either way, whatever.
All right, so if we're looking, obviously there's 18 teams now in the Big Ten, which is hard enough to believe as it is, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the three teams we play a home and home with is Michigan, Penn State, and Purdue. Which the first two teams, I mean, those are some pretty soft target. Maybe not soft. I don't know. Like. Anytime there's a new regime, a totally new roster, it's kind of like it's a toss-up with Michigan. But Penn State, I feel good about having a home and home with. Purdue, Steve Peichel just seems to have Matt Painter's number, especially when you don't have Zach Edey. I feel good about
that.
That's
going to be interesting. Yeah.
Yep. The home-only schedule, they play Illinois, Iowa, Minnesota, Michigan State, UCLA, USC, and Wisconsin. I feel like the home-only schedule is a lot of the teams I expect to be in the top half of the league this year. Do you agree?
Yeah. I mean, Minnesota shocked people last year. I think they're going to do it again. I think they're a good team. Iowa always rebuilds pretty nicely. Illinois is always a top tier. Michigan State's top tier. I don't know about the Pac-12 teams and how they're going to adjust. It's going to be interesting, especially because they have one of them has a new coach. So.
Yep. The away-only teams are Indiana, Maryland, Nebraska, Northwestern, Oregon, Ohio State, and Washington. Unfortunately, the Gavin Goggles game at the rack isn't going to happen next year.
I was really hoping
for an opportunity to me and 8,000 of our friends to tell Gavin how we felt about him going to Nebraska, but not going to happen next year.
Yeah, they're not so tough though. I feel like most of them, like that's a nice schedule. I mean, don't get me wrong, Indiana's it's hard to play at, but are they going to be any good? I mean, they just put together a bunch of pieces and paid a lot of money, but still got a coach at the end of the day. So
yeah, and we saw it last year too. They got guys like Khalil Ware that basically did nothing. You know, they didn't even make the tournament last year after spending oodles of money on guys like McKenzie Mbako, the aforementioned Khalil Ware. They dove into the portal and paid a lot of money for their recruiting class and really didn't get them anything.
Yeah. The West Coast trips are going to be intriguing. I think Oregon's going to fit in like a glove and they might go right to the top or near the top of the Big Ten.
Yeah.
Also, that should be a game Rutgers fans should get a little excited for because that guy kind of, you know, stole multiple players from Rutgers at this point.
Yep. No love lost there, given that they took Eugene Omorori and Jacob Young.
Yeah, so we'll see. Home and away, though. I mean, Penn State, that's a close one. Fans can go to Purdue, like, is away, like you said. Michigan, whatever. That home UCLA game, I keep looking at it for the sole fact that there were rumors a couple months ago that if they get the home game with UCLA, it's going to be at MSG. I'd keep an eye on that.
Yep, we had heard that. I wouldn't be shocked at all if they played at least one game at MSG next year, and you shouldn't either. It'd be a great environment. I think, you know, Rutgers took over Madison Square Garden when they played Michigan State a few years ago. And it was one of the better basketball environments we've seen in a while.
Yeah. So. Conspiracy theory, though. Bronny comes back. USC gets bumped right into that slot, and they're playing an MSG.
Yeah, as much as I'd love to see LeBron come out and sit courtside at the rack, I definitely could see that too.
I think that one makes a little more sense from a Stars perspective.
Yep.
Two away games local-ish. You're going to go to Maryland. That's cool. It's local. Penn State's local-ish. I like this schedule. I really think it lines up pretty well for Rutgers.
Yeah, no, it's a favorable schedule, and we'll see how the roster shapes up. No more news on that for anybody who might be asking. That will be, I imagine, coming soon. The portal's closing, so the names have kind of locked themselves in, and Rutgers will – actually, you do have some updates on that now that I'm thinking about it, if you want to kind of dive into some
basketball
some stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, you have some updates on Supreme Cook and others.
Yeah, I forgot about that because I posted it like 2 days ago. Yesterday, actually, I lied. Yep. Yeah, so Supreme Cook's a legitimate candidate for Rutgers transfer portal target, we'll say. Obviously, playing for Jay Young definitely helps things. A Pikel disciple. That's a good one. Hold on to something there. The Pikel's disciple.
Pikel disciple.
Along with the fact that he would be a day one starter, that's obviously an easy selling point. And he doesn't have a ton of interest, I was told, which is not a good thing, but he was a starter last year. People are a little concerned with his size at 6'9", 220 listed. If that's true, I don't know. But when he was I did the math. When he was matched up against guys that were 6'10 or taller last season, he averaged 11 and 8. The lack of blocks at all, mostly, is a little bit concerning. But you got to remember, this is a guy that's probably going to split minutes with Lathan Somerville. I think Ogbol could probably get 5 minutes a game if need be. And not to mention, two of those games against guys that were over 6'10 were against UConn, the two-time defending champs. And he posted stat lines of 18 and 13 and 12 and 8. That's all I need out of a center, basically, because all the rest of the guys are going to do the rest of the scoring. And he's a great rebounder. He's not a good rebounder. He's a great rebounder. Great on the offensive glass, the defensive glass as well. He's good with the little putbacks. Or he'll try to draw a foul. Worst comes worst. But a really good rebounder, maybe not the sexy name that people want, but I think it's a guy that kind of fits the mold to almost give way for Lathan to kind of become the starter midway to late in the season.
Yeah, I agree. I think we're probably going to be surprised at how much Lathan plays next year, given the amount of coverage we've given to potential portal targets and the amount we've talked about, how much Cliff has played the last few years. But we'll see how that thing goes. We still have... I think the whole team is supposed to be on campus by, June 15th?
I think it's 15th. I think they said.
Somewhere around there. So
Ace will be there earlier, technically.
Yeah, so basically, we still have 6-7 weeks to get this roster figured out. Pikel will get it done. I have no doubt in that. And I know it's tough to preach patience, especially when we put out, constant updates on these things. But I have full confidence that the staff will get a roster built around Ace and Dylan. I love the three additions they've already made, and it looks like they want to add two more. So we'll see how things go. You see more names coming in throughout the last couple of days, and I expect even more surprises tonight. We'll see how things go. Is there anything else we didn't hit on before you wanted to head out here today?
Like I said, I don't think they're going to go for a backup quarterback in the portal, but I will say there's one name that kind of intrigues me a little bit. It's former four-star Taquan Roberson, Jersey guy, played at Penn State, limited action at Penn State. So Big Ten experience, four-star recruit, played at UConn, tore his ACL junior year, came back senior year, threw for 2,000 yards, 16 touchdowns, 9 interceptions, 8 interceptions, something like that. Immobile. If you want an experienced backup, guys, you have to convince them, number one, to be a backup, but – I think that might be the one you probably take a peek into. I don't think they're going to personally, but if you were going to take a peek at a backup, that makes too much sense to me. Big Ten experience, starting experience, decent, solid quarterback play. It all depends on if he wants to be a starter still or not. That's the issue. But definitely one I would keep an eye on. He's small too, which kind of goes away from what they're trying to do, I guess, mostly.
Yep. New Jersey guy, I personally, like you said, don't expect it, but, we've seen crazier things. I just think they're kind of set with what they got. We got three scholarship quarterbacks, three guys they really like. So
Yeah,
that's kind of how I see things playing out. It will be interesting, though. It might be one weird tackle away from a true freshman coming in and starting the Big Ten, which you don't typically like to have drawn up. But
yeah,
not many teams are flying with the kind of the depth that we used to have back even 5 years ago. So
true.
See how things go.
Yep. So, that's all I got, though.
All right, guys. Will, we are still doing the giveaway. That giveaway will be announced some point in the next week and a half. Three prizes given out. It'll be a cornhole Rutgers set. It'll be a signed Ace or signed Dylan Harper card, and it will be a what's the third gift?
The
full stitch Rutgers football jersey. So if you want to be entered into that, write an Apple review mentioning gimme, gimme, gimme. Or write in the comments of this video, gimme, 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 and somewhere in the comments. Don't just make that the only part of the comment. We appreciate you writing a little bit more than that. But we thank you for listening. We thank everybody who's liked and subscribed. We got to 4K. Thanks to all you guys. So keep it up. But for me and Richie, it's been another edition of the Night Report Podcast. Signing off.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.